Good morning, beautiful people, Unknown Preacher LA Season 2. Today, y'all, I am interviewing my man, Humble. You're going to enjoy the interview, so sit back and relax and listen to this righteous brother who really tells it like it is, man. He's nothing but the truth. Let's do it.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown, unknown preacher. It's the unknown preacher. Unknown preacher. Unknown preacher. Unknown preacher.
What it is, Christ followers, Unknown Preacher LA Season 2. Today is a good day. We always talk about it, and the Bible speaks to it. James 4:10 says, humble yourselves before the Lord and he will lift you up. And today's guest, he knows all about it. But first, a quick reminder. It's almost here, October 26th, the Art of Exhortation, hosted by RC3, 501 Wake Chapel Road in Fuquay Arena at the Speakeasy Cafe, featuring Oz Kelly, William Harris, spoken word artist Oracle, spoken word artist DS Will, Christian rapper Sosa Brown, Christian rapper Miles B, and me, myself, and I, the Unknown Preacher LA. We'll be in God's house. You don't want to miss it. Doors open at 5 p.m. October 26th, 501 Wake Chapel Road, Fuquay Arena, The Art of Exhortation. Man, so today we are so happy. I'm happy that I'm speaking with this righteous brother, y'all. A brother who just released a hot track, Protected by the Blood. A person who is simply humble. Today with us in the studio is Humble. What's happening, my brother?
Yo, what's good, bro? Everything's good.
Good, good. Congrats on your work.
Yes, sir.
I really love what you're doing, man.
All right.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hey, what do you think the first question I'm going to ask?
How I got started.
There you go. Yeah, that, see, that's what I'm saying, man. This is easy stuff, man.
That's always the first question, bro.
Yes. So what got you here, man?
Well, actually, man, I got started church background, man. I grew up in church. My father was a pastor. Didn't have a musician at his church. So I kind of learned how to play. You know, I started out playing drums first, mm-hmm. and that's every artist. You started out playing drums, and then I left from playing the drums. I kind of got bored playing that. I taught my brother how to do it, and I picked up the B3 Hammond organ and started playing that. Yeah. I never had lessons. I didn't ever go to school for it. God always gave me a technique to playing by ear. And yeah. That's how I really caught on to plan everything I know. And that's how I got started in church.
I love it, man. I know, yeah. Like, I had two artists on earlier this week, and we kind of talked about that, playing by ear. And my producer, he played by ear. And, you know, and again, nothing against those who read music, but... Yeah. It's something about artists who play by ear, because I think you step outside the lines and you tend to be very creative in your craft. So, yes, yeah, sir. I really appreciate that.
Yes, sir.
Hey, through our music, you know, we tell this story. You know, some of us are very direct. Some of us are subtle. I guess in saying that, what's the story you're telling through your music?
Well, actually, the story I want to, the impact I want to leave is, you know, because the things I sing, compose or produce really actually talks about my life and things I went through. I've been homeless. I've been in the streets living. I was one time selling drugs. I was out in the streets, you know, wilding, knowing things I didn't supposed to be doing. And my thing I wanted, you know, really stress through my music is to the young people, man. You know, my heart goes out to the young, people, because the youth of the church kind of like dying out from the church. And I want to let them know, you know, they really think church is boring. Yeah. You know, and it's nothing happening in church. And they, what they really don't know is it don't have to always be inside the building.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't agree with that, but I was always raised up. I was raised up. I was a Pentecostal child. I was PK. Mm-hmm. So I was always, you know, in church. And when I really kind of the devil tricked me to leave from my covering, and I found out, you know, that life outside of church was kind of hard. The Bible said the way of the transgressor is hard. So it's like it was hard out there for me, and I was enjoying it. And I tell everybody that, man, you know, I don't know where the Christian folks get that from, bro. I'm a realist. They didn't enjoy sin when they was out there, because I enjoyed it. I was out there. I was out there doing what I was doing, I was enjoying what I was doing. But when the Lord had me to come back to the church, man, you know, I really started, and I was out in the world singing in clubs, and we had a group. It was five of us, and I had got two other brothers that sing with me also, and two other young guys that we knew, and we put the group together, and we got as far as, you know, singing. We sung, we performed before Jodeci opened up for them one time before in Florida. Wow. We got that far, but the Lord kind of snatched me out of it. Mm-hmm. And so when I got back in church, I don't know, man, I just started writing, and I really wasn't, you know, composing anything. I just put down lyrics and stuff I was writing. But basically that's where I started from, getting in church, you know, and just writing things and putting it to the side. And then as it went by, years went by, the Lord just started kind of putting all this stuff together. Yeah.
Man, that's deep. And I really, so much what you just said, I want to touch on. The first thing is the homelessness, because I know, several people who have been in that predicament, and I know people who, and you know, you think in general it could never happen to me, but it could happen to any of us at any given time. And so can you share with our listeners, how did you get into that position of being without a home?
Actually, dog, it actually happened. I was in this marriage, and I was married to this young lady, and some things went on, and I got hurt in the situation in the marriage, and I started feeling like, you know, I really lost hope in a lot of things. I really stopped playing, listening to the music. I really stopped even trying to play anything for at least about 2 years. I didn't touch a keyboard. I didn't get behind the mic to sing. I didn't go play for no churches, no nothing. I didn't have nowhere to go. And so at the moment when the young lady and I broke up from each other and we got a divorce, that's when I lost my self-esteem, depression, It was just everything was going on. I was in a dark place, and I ended up living in a van behind a friend's house, and he didn't even know it. And I was living in there for 2 years,
Wow.
nowhere to go. I had nobody to, turn to. Yeah, so it was hard, but God got me through it, and I'm here now.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, man. Thank
Yes,
you so
sir.
much, man. Now, you mentioned you dabbled into R&B music. What brought you back to gospel?
It's funny. It's funny that you asked. I'm laughing for a reason. It was God. I'm gonna tell you just a little bit of story, and I'm gonna tell you how you're gonna say it's God too, and the order's gonna say it. Actually, I was, I was still out there, doing my thing, and I was still singing, and but I had in between, I had a daughter, and my little girl, she was, the world to me. It's so different what I had going on. I had to make sure that, she was in my life. And so one day we was at my mother's house. We stopped by my father and my mother's house, and we just in there, and conversating. I hadn't came back to the church or anything like that, but we sitting in that conversation, and the Lord spoke to me and said, I was in a concert, we were singing somewhere, and then I heard the Holy Ghost saying to me on the stage while we were singing, clearly, he said, "Go home." And I'm saying, "Okay, this voice that keep talking to me, who is this?" And he said, "Go home." He said it to me about three times, and so I'm thinking that he was talking about going to see my mom and dad, and that's what I did. I went to go see my mom and dad, and who I hadn't seen in a couple of weeks, and I would call him, but I would never, I wouldn't go by. So I went on to the house, and me and my daughter, I picked my daughter up, went by the house, stayed there. We enjoyed it, company and talking, and we got ready to leave. And this is what I want to say to the young people. When you hear the voice of the Lord saying some things to you, and you know you are doing wrong, and you are not in the right place you're supposed to be, hey, man, I tell you now, hear the voice and obey it. Because it's very crucial that I say it to the young people, because we have so much going on now in the world. But I was taking her home, and I was driving, and I got I think about 4 or 5 blocks from my mother's house, and my daughter, who didn't supposed to be in the front seat, and I had her in the front seat, and I had a seat belt over, and my light changed to yellow and green, and we, I pulls off, and this guy coming from on her side, and he was trying to beat the light about time, and I know it was nobody but God, because the car stopped. I can hear him slamming on brakes, and I'm trying to take the seatbelt off and then pull it to me, and it was too late, and he got right to. So close to the door, and it did not touch the door.
No.
So I know that it was nobody but the hand of God to intervene in that area and that time. So that got my attention, and he said it to me again, the third time. I said, "Go home." And that when that happened, I gave it all up. I gave my life back to the Lord, and I started my work over again.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah,
I
man.
know our listeners are definitely impacted by that story.
Yes, sir.
Man, and what you're saying is so true. I can tell you, there are so many people who are listening to this, and they're gonna be impacted. I'm claiming it.
Yes, sir.
That's just a touching story, and God put us through this so we can tell those stories and give
There you go.
testimony,
Yes, sir.
man.
Yes,
So
sir.
yeah. Now tell us about the name Humble, because I'm gonna tell you, when I first heard it, I was like, man, I'm loving this already before I even had a conversation with you, man. So tell us about the name.
The name, actually that name came, Humble. People gonna really probably, you know, say, you know, it wasn't me, it wasn't anybody else. It actually was God. Mm-hmm. I was trying to figure out, you know, what to call my name, or what name put to the music. And I was in prayer, and the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, Humble. And when I heard the word humble, and I'm like, okay, you know, that's a good catch. But, you know, I'm not, I don't know about that one, God. You know, I was thinking about just using my regular name. And he said, no, humble. He said, the reason why I wanted you to use that word, because I want you to stay humble before me. He said, that name will keep you. You have to stay humble. And you putting out that that's who you are, you have to show that. So that's how it came about, man. I mean, really, it through prayer.
Yes. Amen. And for being obedient too.
Yes, sir.
I'm listening to everything you talked about, like having church. I'd say church in the street, and
yes, sir.
The type of music, sir. And all, dude. All everything you're saying is the premise for this podcast / radio show, man.
Gotcha.
I mean, so it's spot on. I'm just really impressed by everything that I'm hearing, man. God is definitely working in your life. So
yes, sir.
Thank you for it. Now, what genre would you say specifically you can say? Because I listen to your music, and it's. I don't know if you can be pigeonholed into, you know, or put in a corner. And so what would you classify your genre?
I don't know. I don't want to be called gospel. I mean, I know that's my background, gospel.
Yeah.
Usually, contemporary. To me, I think my music is more like a sound of deliverance.
I'll say that again. I'm sorry.
A sound of deliverance.
Oh, gotcha.
It's more, as I said earlier, the more you hear my music, my other music that's coming, mm-hmm. You'll understand that it's more talking about life, you know, in general, mm-hmm. The love of God. I love the scene about the love of God and how he love on us, and loving on him. I am a worshiper. I love worship music. I love it. Praise music. I love it. But I think mine is more kind of reaching out to those that's lost hope, mm-hmm. That don't have that drive anymore to do anything with their music or whatever. And it's not, it don't even have to be music. It can be anything in life. Yeah. They've lost that vibe. They lost that energy. And I want to be that one. Then when they hear the music, it's like, damn, it punched them. Like, I got to get up and do something. You know, that's where I'm at with that.
Man, I love it. Good stuff. And now you're from Greene County, right?
But yeah, that's where I was born at. But actually, my mom moved from that area when I was like 7, I believe.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
At 7, and I am 252 Wide Awake Wilson.
Gotcha. Yeah, you will be there. That's definitely the case. Now, you said at 7, and I know you already mentioned you were PK.
Yeah.
But you were also preaching,
yes, sir.
At like 9 years old. So
yes, sir. I started at nine years old. My brother was I was nine, and my brother was he was seven. He was 7 at the time, and we traveled a lot of places. When we was younger, my father, who was Apostle Issa McKinney, who passed in 2018. And awesome man of God, taught me everything I know concerning the Word of God and how to conduct yourself as a preacher, how to conduct yourself as just being a man.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, being a PK, and I don't know, a lot of probably, let's listen to me, the PK, and that's not an easy life. It's
I
not
was
an
just
easy
going to
life.
get into that a little
It's not
bit.
easy, dog. It was not easy. Being a PK with my father, I can talk about my experience. Being with him, he was a major prophet, man of God, amen, off the chain. I mean, his ministry was totally different from any others. He was down to earth, but he didn't cut no corners. And it's like, he was very raw. He came from the streets. He was a gangster. He was in the streets. He was never born in church. And God saved him and used him until that time. And so, they always say that, the apple's not too far from the tree. And so he taught us a lot, man. I'm just gonna hit on just a little bit. We had to get up, bro, at 5 o'clock in the mornings to pray every morning before school. This man was real.
That's awesome,
Five o'clock in the morning, you had to pray, you had to read. As far as, things in church that was going on, the knowledge and wisdom that he gave us at a young age, we caught on to that early. Well, a lot of people, got it later on in their lives. No, he got us in it early, casting out demons, and I mean early. My father didn't play. It was a lot. Now I loved, as far as me, being a preacher, it has not been easy, because once you take on that position, take on that title, there's great responsibility, and there's also attacks from the enemy that comes. And I say to anybody that really wants that, and you really, anxiously get it, I advise you to pray on that for you before you even try, because that's a lot of responsibility, man. And now in this time, in this era, the youth and the world needs solid preachers. I can put it like just solid.
Man, you're speaking the truth, brother. Thank you so much. Now let me ask you this, because you always hear PK kids and police officer kids, and I want to, what do you think? Because you mentioned as a teenager, somewhat of a, for lack of better words, rebellious. Is that a
Oh
correct?
God,
Or, yeah.
rebellious wasn't a name for mine.
Really?
Dog, I was like stubborn, and
Yeah.
to me, I was trying to prove God wrong.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to prove what my father was saying, and anything that anybody else said to me, I was trying to prove them wrong, especially God, that I was not called to be a preacher,
Wow.
and was preaching the whole time. But I was just doing it because my dad was like, and he didn't force us to do it, but it was, he was, training us how to be, what we're supposed to be. And I just didn't care for that, I was very stubborn, very, very rebellious. It go in one ear, go out the other. So it was like I had already made up my mind at age 16, I was gonna leave. And I left home when I was 16 years old. And I left home and into the world. I stayed in Wilson for a while. Then I ended up going to I moved into New Haven, Connecticut. I was there for like 2 years. Going to school and with my uncle and all that, and I saw a lot, did a lot there, and I'm just thankful to God, his new day of mercy, man, because I've been in tight situations that God got me out of. So I thank God every day that I am alive, and I have another chance, to do something in the ministry.
I love. Now, let me, do you think that it, because what you just said to me, it sounds like you're saying my dad had maybe plans for me. Like you said, he didn't force you, but somewhat of expectation. And yeah. It was like, no, I'm going to find my own way. And I guess I'm just trying to identify these correlations, you know, between the PKs, the police officer kids, you always hear that, turn a different route. But it's also important to point out that, like, the PKs that I know, the children of police officers I know, they usually come back home. I mean, you know, I can't think of maybe a few, and still their story is not over with yet either. But
right,
most of the time they come back home. So you were shown the way and you returned. So, but I was always just curious, you know, what's the correlation between that, you know?
Correlation between that. I don't know how, you know, as far as police officer, kids, I know I had some friends that, you know, matter of fact, when I was smaller, when I was younger, we had a police officer live right on the street from us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we were good friends. I still am good friend with their daughter. Mm-hmm. And she used to tell us things about, you know, how it was hard because, you know how this world quote is that they anything to do with officers, and if your mom and dad is an officer, you know, they started calling them a snitch and, you know, and all this stuff. And that stuff used to call the, you know, the police officer kids in school. You a snitch. Yeah. Mom and dad is an officer.
Yes.
Well, when it came to church, PKs, I can't say we got it worse, but we did in a way, because when they found out you was a preacher or you had anything to do with church, the kids was cruel, man. They was very cruel. It was like, they don't want to hear anything about God. Mm-hmm. And you know, what is it with you and being a minister? Aren't you too young to be a preacher? And it was a lot been said. But, I think that the as far as being a PK and a police officer kid, I think it's the teaching from leadership. That's what I think is, and it's so much expectations from the parents.
Yeah,
and you know they look for, you know, the kids to follow their paths.
Yeah,
and so I think that's kind of, you know, the pressure that comes behind it, the press sometimes, you know, from the kids, because they're trying to be so much like the image that they see in front of them.
Yeah, that's a good analysis, and never expect. I know my youngest son, I think that was a nickname, snitch that they call him, so I can definitely relate to that. And I don't know if I ever want them to follow my path as far as the profession, but I do look back and say, hey, I had this ideal of, and I don't want to use the word perfect, but what the ideal family and look like and what the son should be doing. And so and probably not thinking about it or really being mindful, it probably was some unnecessary pressures placed on them out of those expectations.
Yes, so sir.
It's good to be able to look back and, you know, just be mindful of it. We can have good intentions, but adverse consequences.
So, yes, sir.
Yeah. That's a good, that man, this is a great conversation. I do know what's also important, and that's your new single. So tell us about Protected by the Blood. It's a hot song, by the way.
Appreciate it, boss man. Yeah. Actually, I'm gonna tell you how it came about. Protected by the Blood, actually, it actually came from a dream. And I, when I tell this story, I the feedback I get from everybody, the Clark sisters, you just like the Clark sisters, they dream about this certain song. I'm like, okay,
wow.
But actually, I was asleep, and I started, I hear beats in my head all the time, and it's like, and if I dream a beat, I know it's important, and that's what God wants me to put out. And so I dreamed the beat, and I actually, when I got up, and you know, I'm a little older now, bro, so I had to get up real quick and go into the studio in my house and put it down, because I gave my memories not like that, like sharp. And so I got right up, and I told my wife, I'm going in here and put this beat down. I had dreamed. And it was so crazy how it started, and I was in there doing the beat. And sometimes, you know, being a musician, being a producer and composer, man, it's sometimes when you get ready to make beats, you can get lost in doing it because, you know, other beats, you start hearing other stuff, and then you try to stop that and go to something else. And it's not with this beat, it didn't happen like that. It was more, I was focused on it, and it seemed like the Holy Ghost was just giving me the type of instruments to put in it. And so everything I heard in the dream, that's what I was trying to mimic. And
wow.
I'm telling you, it was so crazy to me how the song just came about. And as far as the words, the lyrics, I didn't even have all the lyrics when I got to the studio. And I did the music here at home.
The biggest sin. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your might. That's right. But guess what? Love your neighbor too. Because here's the reality. Your neighbor is just like you. The biggest sin is the judgment of men. Vision 2020, but blind within. So you see others, but won't see self, and talk about your brother when you ask for help. The philosophy is gossipy. I see hypocrisy because when I fell off the wagon, you were mocking me. Mockery is stopping me from tearing down my walls because you had the gall to tell me I wasn't saved at all. Who are you? A deity? Jesus himself? I want to give you my energy, but there's no energy left because my mama told me to treat people kind, but don't be blind because you'll find a dagger in your spine. The one time I believed I had a special connection, but our connection is dead and there's no resurrection. Now think about what you've done. A brother's in pain. I don't want to place blame, but you tarnish my name. It could never be the same, and that's what's breaking my heart. But if I was smart, I would play the part and never look back. But reading God's word, I know better than that. In fact, you're my brother, you're my sister, you're my sibling in Christ. And if I don't forgive and forget, I'm losing my life. So in saying all of this, my love will never end because grudges are poison. And obviously, the biggest sin.
Actually, I went to Winston-Salem to record it. And how did that come about? As far as, and I can go ahead and talk about Jay Black.
I was going to ask about.
That's my boy. I was here recording. Actually, Jay is my wife, my beautiful wife. And our son, Tori, who's disabled, and they was coming to the house to do a documentary of Tori. And they, you know, they came in with the cameras and the lights and all that. And my wife had, they was filming her within the documentary and some others that, other family members that was helping out. And, you know, Jay was here and, it was Jay Black and, another friend of mine, Jerry, who is the engineer that mixed down everything. And so, you know, make a long story short, they all came, they was there, and I was upstairs. And, you know, I actually, at that time, I was upstairs putting the music down, finishing the song. I was upstairs finishing the music to Protected by the Blood.
Yeah.
And this is why I say, young people, when you hear the voice of the Lord move, it don't take much to heart. Don't take hard to do. And I was upstairs, and the Holy Ghost said, well, I was kind of waiting. I didn't want to get in the way of that. As far as the documentary, it was about my wife and, you know, our son.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm upstairs recording with my headphones on. And the Holy Ghost spoke to me. He said, now go downstairs. And I was like, no, I'm not going down there. I said, because, you know, that's their thing. I don't want to be in the way. And he said it to me this time, two times. And he said, go downstairs. Mm-hmm. So I took the headphones off. And as soon as I walked downstairs, they had just finished and they were laughing and talking. So, make a long story short, Black was downstairs the whole time. They was down there. He was down there clowning and preaching and praying like he was a preacher and all this. And mm-hmm. my wife said, now, if you want to have church, I got a musician upstairs. We can have some church. And so I came downstairs and, you know, introduced myself to them. And Black just out the blue, hey, man. Hey, spit me something, you know, sing something. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
huh? He was like, he said, anybody come to you and a producer from anywhere will tell you, sing something right off the bat. I said, okay, let me take you upstairs to my element and let's go upstairs. So we went upstairs, mm-hmm. and when I took him upstairs, the dude heard the beat, Protected by the Blood, and fell mm-hmm. in love with it. He was like, yo, I can put something to that for real.
Wow.
I'm like, for real? And that's how it got started with me and Black and then Jerry, who's the engineer. And so, long story short, man, I mean, my wife and I went to Salem, recorded at the studio, and that's how Protected by the Blood came along, man. It just, I dreamed the beat, the music, and I just went from there and laid it down.
Great story. So Jay Black was part of the crew during the documentary.
Yes, sir. And you would never, let me tell you, boy, they always say, don't judge a book by the cover. By the picture. Man, I'm gonna tell you something. You're looking at Jay is very intelligent. And what he does for a living, he edits films, he records, he does all that documentaries, you know, mm-hmm. travel a lot. Looking at him, you never thought he was rap like that. And when that guy got on the mic, I said, Jesus, this guy, I mean, it just started flowing out.
Yeah. So, I love it. Hey, you mentioned something else, and I forgot to say this. Congrats are in order. You're a newlywed, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
Good stuff.
Got married in July, man, to the most beautiful woman in the world.
Yeah.
And I love her with all my heart. Miss Patricia McKinney. We have been like friends for years, like sisters and brothers.
Wow.
And her family knew my family. We're very close. My dad used to go and preach to their church years ago in the 80s and 90s and used to run revivals and all that. And so her dad and my dad was very close. And we didn't have no idea that we were going to get married, but God knew.
the whole time.
So we always had looked at each other as just brothers and sisters. And it's funny what I'm getting ready to say. And she's in this room right now. She probably gonna laugh, oh, but God opened her eyes. She'll tell you. We was at a good friend funeral, and you know, every time I saw her, you know, it was a hug and, you know, kiss on the cheek. And we, you know, go about, you know, speak to each other and we leave. But this time, so happened, I did something, being a gentleman, helping another lady out. She saw it and she was like, wow.
Wow.
He's a gentleman. And she said it's like the Lord took the scales off her eyes. Now, and prior to that,
mm-hmm.
she got two prophecies that she was going to get married in 24.
Wow.
And at the time, I was, before that happened, before we got married, and before I started playing for their church,
mm-hmm.
I was pastoring for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
My father's church, well, he passed. He left it with my sister. My sister left it with me
until mm-hmm.
She got back from Kenneth Copeland's Bible College, and mm-hmm. she took it over. Then she got married and moved to Georgia, so she took the church name, everything with her. So mm-hmm. I started playing for my wife's church, and that's how it started, man. We just started dating each other, and it's been a wonderful ride. I love this woman with all my heart, man. I've been through a lot with women taking advantage of my kindness.
Yes.
I'm a very humble guy. I'm not hard to get along with, and when I love deep. And yeah. This woman has shown me what love is all about.
Amen.
Really showed me what love is all about.
Well, so Martin, you gotta be friends first. So I'm glad that to see it, and Pat's good people. So I'm glad to see the union, man. God
yes,
bless both of you.
Appreciate it, Doc.
That is so awesome. Yeah. Let me ask you this, because I always ask my artists about their top five gospel solo artists. You have a top five.
Top five. My first top five is John P. Key.
Gotcha.
I love John P. Key music, his stand that he has. John P. Key has music that has taken me through a lot in life.
Yeah.
My second one would be J. Moss.
Mm-hmm.
The vibes that J. Moss give out and the creativity that he gives out, it was something different that the world took on to, and it just took over the world, man.
Yeah.
My third one is Zaccardi. What is his last name? Oh, my God. Cortez. Zaccardi mm-hmm. Cortez. Powerful voice, and this guy is nothing to be reckoned with, and his voice and his range is just off the chain, and the control that he has with his voice, and that's what I love about him. Four. I have to go with my man, right here in North Carolina, Luther Barnes.
I knew you were going to say that.
He's a good friend of mine.
He's a friend of yours?
Yeah, man. Yeah. That guy been knowing me ever since I was a little bit of boy, man.
Yeah.
So I see him from time to time. He's awesome guy.
Yeah.
And a lot of people, you know how sometimes you get bad vibes from gospel artists that mm-hmm. you know they have terrible attitudes, mean, yeah. and just you know you try to get an autograph from them, they just turn you know that he's never been like that, never. I've sung at the classic at Redbud, and the guy had mm-hmm. given me some top advice. I mean, still right now, I can go to him right now today. If I call him right now today, I'll go to him. The dude just sit right there. He's just so humble, dude. And my last one is, and I love this young man, and he has, a lot of people sleeping on him.
Mm-hmm.
That is Jordan Armstrong.
Gotcha.
Jordan Armstrong, who's from ATL.
Okay.
If young people have never heard of him, hey, look him up. Jordan Armstrong is taking over the youth era, man. That guy is bad. But the thing I love about him is his message within his music.
Mm-hmm.
And he don't just write something to make you feel good, just give you a good feeling. He talks to you, And he tells stories, and he put himself into some things he had been through with his mom, being a single parent. It's just a lot. This dude, wow. He is bad. So those are my five, bro.
Man, I love that top five, and I'm a big Luther Vaughn.
Man.
My mother-in-law turned me on to Luther Vaughn when I was just leaving out of my teen years. And she said, you need to check this out. And I heard the first album. Then after that, I just started buying all this
stuff.
Yes,
sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And my God can do anything.
Uh-huh.
I tell you that one, that was the one that got me. Like when I was in a jam or struggling or worrying about something, I would play that and it would just make things so much better in my life. So yeah, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, man, great interview. Before we wrap up, I'm giving you the floor, the platform to talk about anything you want to say in the final minutes. You want to talk about your music, how we can listen to it, stream it, download it. Whatever, you're going to be at any venues, you want to talk about that, I'm handing it over to you.
Okay. Appreciate it, bro. Actually, you can reach me at, and my music is on Spotify, and you can go look for that. It's Humble 252, Protected by the Blood. Also, and I kept it simple. I just kept putting Humble 252 so everybody can get used to that name. Humble 252, you can go to my Facebook book. It's Humble 252. You can pull it up. I have some things up there. Also, YouTube has Humble 252 on that also. And other social media, my SoundCloud is the same thing. It's Humble 252. And I just want to leave, amen, just a little thought to the, the ones that's trying to stay afloat as an artist. And I know it's real hard to do it at times. It's just a lot. Some things you see behind me right now, I have, keyboards and I got my Mac and my setup and all this. I didn't always had that.
Yeah,
I struggled, to get what I got. I worked hard to get it. It took me a long time to really get everything that I have. To learn, as far as Logic. And
this episode is brought to you by the Black Farmers Hub and by Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores. Both serve as a platform for Black farmers and food and beverage makers. Inspired by their family legacies with a mission to provide a platform for Black and Brown farmers, support their work by visiting thesweeterjuice.com as they consistently advocate for food sovereignty and assist with alleviating food apartheid. The Black Farmers Hub and Peanut and Zeb's Grocery Stores.
It was not easy. For a long time I struggled with getting into studios recording, because I didn't have the money or people didn't really want to take time out with me because of my style of music. And I don't consider myself greater than anybody else, but my music is different. And in North Carolina it's more basically, we was raised up on quartet.
Yes.
And so and I don't do a lot of quartet, but Luther I do. Because I love Luther music, man. I love his voice and everything about him. But it has been hard to really get the music out. I went to some studios where, when they hear my music, get in there and start recording, they stop me and like, I can't do it.
Really?
I've had, yes, sir. I've had that done to me plenty of times. They didn't understand the message that was within the music and my style. So, I mean, but it was hard. So I just want to say to those ones that's in that area that I was in, keep pushing, keep pushing, keep grinding, man. Stay solid. Whatever God has given you to do and your assignment, your plans that he's giving you, follow those assignments and follow those plans. And the main key word that I stress to every artist, I don't even care if you're not a gospel artist. Put God first. That's the first thing. You got to put him first. If you don't put him first, you're going to always come in last. I promise you.
Amen.
So you got to put God first at all times and stay before him and stay in prayer.
Brother, that is awesome. Thank you again.
Yes, sir.
We definitely got a collab in the near future.
Yes, sir.
And if you ever need anything, I'm right here. God bless you, your family, man. And I just can't wait to see how this journey continues, brother.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. All right. Stay humble.
No doubt. Right, brother.
Peace.
Peace.
Don't forget to follow the Unknown Preacher LA podcast. We're on all podcast platforms.
It's the unknown. Unknown. It's the unknown. Unknown Preacher.